Welcome to Inspiration at Work, where you will hear from business leaders from around the world on what they are doing at work and through work to make the world a better place. This is the most positive talk radio show on the planet, where we have evicted the tenets of cynicism and criticism and set up residence on Inspiration Boulevard, right in the heart of Atlanta, Georgia. And now, your host, America's Chief Inspiration Officer, Terry Barber.
Hello and welcome back to another edition of Inspiration at Work. And I am so excited today to be able to introduce to you a man whose life has truly impacted that of many, including my own, Tom Darrow. So thank you, Tom, so much for being here. And I have once again my lovely, always positive, effervescent, yes, Tamara O'Neill. Tamara, welcome back.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Hey, I understand you've been doing a little bit of traveling.
Absolutely. I was out in Phoenix, had an assignment where I was helping to do some 360 feedback coaching for HR.
Interesting that you got an assignment in Phoenix while it was ice on the ground in Atlanta.
How'd you pull that off? Luck of the draw.
Yeah. Well, anyway, great to have you back. It's going to be an incredible show. And Tom, I am so glad that you're here. Thank you for being a part of our show. I'd love to just begin a little bit just talking about this past week, specifically yesterday, and was wondering if you'd give us just an overview about what happened down at the Galleria.
We had quite a morning, didn't we?
Yes.
Yeah, we had the second annual HR prayer breakfast. And we're just blessed to have Ken Blanchard as our main speaker and Bob Lewis as our local speaker. And the purpose of the HR Prayer Breakfast is to really reach the Atlanta HR community for Christ. We just really feel like to impact people and especially employees that there are really two great entree points for that. One is the CEO of a company and one is through HR. And so we're really excited by the potential of this. And last year at the end of the event, we said, how are we going to top that? And now after yesterday, we said, now how are we going to top that? So we're really blessed and thankful.
So the vision of the future looks like what?
Well, it looks like next year we're hoping to do a national HR prayer breakfast. The SHRM National Conference is coming to Atlanta. And we hope to have over 1,000 people at the National HR Prayer Breakfast and then do that every year wherever the SHRM conference goes. And then the next year get back to also doing a local one every year. So next year we probably won't have a local Atlanta one. We'll hopefully do a national one here in Atlanta.
That's exciting. Yeah. Well, I know it was a bunch of fired up people. That's for sure.
It was awesome.
Yeah,
God showed up in a big way.
It was a good experience. Mm-hmm. Hey, I want to begin our conversation with a little bit of background. I'd love for you to talk just a minute about exactly what you do in the context of what you refer to as Career Spa, which I think is an incredibly creative and clever name in and of itself that you've created. And your latest venture is Talent Connections, correct?
Actually, it was the other way around.
Other way around.
Yeah, we've had Talent Connections for about 12 years now. And Talent Connections is a recruiting, consulting, executive search, and HR consulting firm. And a couple years ago, we just saw a need to, like Tamara knows, to really reach out and help people who are in transition, whether they're unemployed or misemployed. And we really just felt like, you know, we've got the two ingredients to do that. One is the best practices for how to walk through a transition. I mean, we've been recruiters for years, and there's really no one that knows better what a good resume should look like, how to interview or how to network than senior recruiters. So we said, you know, we've got that, and we also have a lot of compassion to help people. And so we reached out. We came up with what we think is a fun name and really said, you know, let's go shepherd people. Let's go really help them transition from where they are to where God wants them to be in their career.
Yeah, and tell me a little bit about what makes it different than the other guys that are out there.
Yeah, and there are a lot out there, and they're good folks.
Sure.
You know, we think it's really a formula. We think it's the combination of the best practices plus the encouragement plus the accountability and really getting back to personalizing it and really meeting each person where they are. And we've just been thrilled with the testimonials. We've helped now over 500 people in just 2 short years. And, you know, the future's bright. We have an office in Jacksonville. We're opening an office in Houston. And the plan is to go, expand nationally to really help people.
Yeah. Do you have a story that you could tell us, maybe, of an individual whose life was touched and impacted and changed as a result of having gone through the process?
Oh, absolutely. Got a lot of stories. In fact, we have a lot of testimonial videos out on our website. But, you know, one comes to mind, somebody who is a vice president at a major company here in Atlanta that left and wanted to start his own business. And, you know, I think a lot of us have the American dream to do that, right? Unfortunately, if you're not wired to do it, or if you don't do it the right way, it could be a disaster. I mean, they say 80 or 90% of all businesses fail. And so we came alongside him, really helped him craft the focus for the business, the market, you know, how do you go about selling the services, and really helped him launch it. And he's doing real well. Really excited for him.
Wow. So it doesn't have to be go get reemployed. It could be get deployed into exactly what it is that you've been called to do.
Exactly. I mean, even someone who's going to retire. I mean, most people aren't going to sit on a rocking chair and rot away, right? They're going to do something. And so we can even help them figure out what that is and really use the rest of their life, you know, for longer lasting initiatives. And that's really important.
So do you have a demographic or a certain, you know, function, industry specific type of person that you would like to be working with?
You know, it's a mix. I mean, we certainly have been working with a lot of unemployed folks mm-hmm. to this point. I think as time goes on and the market improves, we're going to start working with more misemployed individuals. And to me, that's even a worse situation, is when each and every day you're going to work, but you know you're not where you need to be. And it's so hard to break from those chains. And because you've got a paycheck, you're well known at the company, you know the ropes, it's just hard to break from that. And it's sort of like the frog in the pot of water. You know, if you don't get out, you're going to boil to death. And so we're trying to help people see the light and say, hey, there is a better way possibly for you. A study just came out a couple weeks ago from a major recruiting firm that 84% of all people would change jobs if they actually had an opportunity to do so.
Oh, my
84%.
Goodness. That's about the highest I think I've ever heard it to be.
And it doesn't surprise me. From what I hear out there, there's a lot of pent-up frustration from the economy the last few years. You know, a lot of people think it's greener on the other side. Might not be, but they think it is. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we just want to help them really see the light and make sure that they're making the right steps in their career transition.
So when somebody who's listening right now, they're in that position, they're finding themselves in that pot of water, mm-hmm. not real sure how to get out as they boil their life away. What would be some 1, 2, 3 steps, that kinds of things that you would say to them that would be helpful?
Well, I think the first thing is to get advice. You know, I think we all think we know it all in some circumstances, and we're in charge of our career. But, you know, it's hard to think clearly when you're emotionally distraught or you're stressed out, right? So we recommend getting what we call a clearness committee. And this is almost like a personal board of advisors. And these are people that know you, respect you, and you get them together as a group. Because a lot of people will go to mentors or individuals one-on-one and ask for advice. And that's valuable, but it's not as valuable as you get the group together as a team, and they're able to bounce ideas off of each other, play off of each other's thoughts, and they end up leading you down a path that often you never would have been led down if you just talked to people one-on-one. So get together a clearness committee, buy them breakfast, and throw the issues on the table and say, hey, here's where I am. Can you help me walk through this to get to a better place?
How do you think that works? Actually, we have several HR networking groups mm-hmm. in town, and they're using that, I think, that approach. Mm-hmm. Do you think that's helpful for them?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I think the advice they get, the networking, mm-hmm. you know, it's part of the journey. You know, it's not the end all. You know, LinkedIn isn't the end all, but it's a tool. And so there are a lot of tools. So I think, you know, a transition is a formula. There are a lot of pieces to it. And most people don't utilize all the pieces. They just go to one job board and put their resume out there and hope the phone rings, or they just go to LinkedIn, or they just use one channel. And I think there are a lot of different pieces that work to optimize the success that they're going to have.
So I'd love to shift gears just a minute. I want to talk about Tom.
Sure.
I'd love for you to talk a little bit about your heart, your passion, mm-hmm. about in and around you, why you do what you do.
Mm. Well, you know, I really feel like my purpose is to generously lead others into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ through their career transition, through their networking. I know one of your questions was around, you know, who I got my inspiration from, really several people. And I've been so blessed to have some incredible mentors, my father, my grandfather. My father was a corporate guy. And for years when I was in corporate America, I would have sworn that I'm a corporate guy, right? That I'm not an entrepreneur. But what I've really learned is that I'm more like my grandfather, and he owned a pharmacy in Green Bay, Wisconsin. Go Pack, go! And everybody knew him in town, and he supported the little league teams. And you know, back then, the pharmacy in a small town like that was like the Starbucks of today. You would go there to meet and be seen, and kind of like the Cheers, right? And so I'm more like my grandfather. I love to help people. I love to see a need, and that's really where Career Spot came about. You know, we were very busy and very blessed with Talent Connections, but just felt led, and through some mentors of mine that said, you know, Tom, I think you're feeling led to do this. You need to go do it. So here we are.
So in the environment that you have created with the two companies that you oversee, talk to me a little bit about the culture. What do people feel when they walk in your office? How do they talk about you?
Well, first off, we don't have an office. We have two companies and no office, so that's very unique. We're virtual. We have hired just some wonderful people that have great expertise, but they're very independent. They're self-motivated. They're able to get it done, so we talk a lot on the phone, a lot on email. We meet around town, and it all works. It's almost like the HR prayer breakfast yesterday. I mean, this was just a collection of 20 or 30 HR leaders that have come together, and we didn't have to hire an administrator to get it done. We just all came together. Everybody did what they were supposed to do, and it came off beautifully. Everything worked. In fact, I'm not aware of hardly a single hiccup that we had yesterday. And so that's how we operate at Talent Connections and Career Spa. Even from an outplacement standpoint, I was just asked the question this morning at a client, where's your office? You know, do we get to come into your office? And we say, no, you know, we don't have an office, and we don't think that that's a healthy environment for somebody who's unemployed to come in and set up a pity party of a bunch of unemployed folks. You need to get out and network. And so we teach them and encourage them to get out and shake hands and really find the next career step.
So you clearly have a real gift for being able to cite talent.
We think. Yeah. That's why we named the company Talent Connections, right?
So what do you look for? Yeah. What kind of questions do you ask of yourself going into meeting someone to identify good talent?
Well, you know, I think the person has to have the baseline of skill, right? But I think beyond that, it's the attitude. You know, it's really the differentiator. Why do people leave a company? Well, it's usually the relationship with their boss. Well, that's not a skill thing. That's a behavioral thing, an attitude thing. Now, it could be the boss's attitude instead of theirs. But, I think that's it. You know, like our coaches that we use at Career Spa. You know, they're certified professional coaches. They do this for a living. They're not just unemployed, and while they're unemployed, hey, do some coaching for us. They do this for a living. But the other key thing is that they're very compassionate. That was a key criteria as we interviewed these folks, is we want them to have a service mentality. In Atlanta here, the good comparison is comparing the varsity to Chick-fil-A, right? You go to the varsity and they say, what do you have? What do you want? You go to Chick-fil-A, you know, how may I serve you? And it's my pleasure, right? That's the mindset that we really try to emulate at Career Spa as we're shepherding these people through their career transition.
What type of certifications do they have?
You know, certified life coaches, career coaches, professional coaches. I know the coaching profession is still kind of struggling to have one certification, and I'm not sure they need one certification like a CPA or like an HR. We have a couple, you know, the PHR, SPHR, GPHR. I'm sure there are different types of coaching. Maybe they can have their different types of certification, but they're certified in coaching, right? And that's they have taken a stand and said, this is what I'm called to do, and I'm going to become as good as I can at it and learn that methodology to most effectively work with somebody who's their client.
Can we talk about bosses for just
a
minute? Because I'd love to double-click on that word in light of your comment. What would you say to bosses in terms of what it would take to create that kind of relationship where people want to work for you, they are excited about coming to work for you?
Well, you know, I like the servant leader model, you know, where a boss or a supervisor comes into work every day aiming to serve the people that are serving them. And I think if they genuinely have that mindset, their people will know it. You know, it's not something you can just say all day or put up PowerPoints. Here's how it's going to be around here. You know, you have to show it. You have to live it. And so I think if you set out, you know, I try to do that with my folks. I'm sure I fail many times. But, you know, if I can go to our employees and help them be successful individually, well, guess what? We're all going to be successful, and the water line's going to rise. And so we've got some phenomenal people on our team. Tamara knows several, Tila Jackson and Susan Kent and others. They're awesome people. And they not only give to our clients, but they give back to our profession. They give back to the community. And it's really great to see.
I think that's pretty exciting. One of the things that I love to ask of all of our guests, Tom, is to share with us a personal defining moment. Do you have such a moment in your life where it was a reset button and you began to look at life differently going forward?
Yeah, I have many, but probably the most defining moment was back in 1991. I was just literally walking through some tough challenges in my career. And was kind of burned out, was doing the same thing for several years. And one thing I've learned about myself is I've constantly got to have a new challenge. Maybe it's ADD. I don't know what it is. But and so for me, I had a mentor that kind of walked me through what I was thinking. And really what I was thinking was all about me. Is what I was thinking. And it was, you know, I had this mindset. I was single at the time, and I had this mindset that, you know, someday I'm going to get married, hopefully. And when I get married, my life's going to start. Right? Then we're going to have kids, and we're going to buy a house, and I'll have a garage, and everything's going to be wonderful after I get married. Well, guess what? I didn't get married for another 16 years.
Wow.
Yeah, 16 years after that. So I got married at age 42, just 4 years ago. And
Anne is lovely, by the way.
She is wonderful. And just
now,
incredible.
Did she wait 16 years?
Did she wait 16?
Were you dating for 16 years?
Oh, no, no. We didn't date each other for 16. No, she was hiding for 16 years, I think. Yeah. And I say that I used to be on noharmony.com, and we finally met through eharmony.com. So, but, yeah, so for me, I accepted Christ as my Lord and Savior in 1991, and that really turned my focus away from me and onto more of an eternal focus. And so, you know, there was a study done recently. Someone interviewed a bunch of people that are over 100 years old. And they said, if you had to do it over again, what would you do? And there were three key themes that came out of that. And one was that they would spend more time with relationships with family and friends. One is that they would take more risks. And the other is that they would do more things that are going to last beyond their lifetime. And to me, that's the legacy piece of this. And really, you know, what I would love for anybody is to, you know, do some things every day that are going to span a legacy, to impact other people, whatever you're called to do. Some people are called to write books. Some people are called to speak. Some people are called just to show up to work every day and be the security guard or be the reception. That's great. You know, do what you're called to do. Don't constantly feel like you got to do something bigger and better. I think in America, we get caught up in this never satisfied mindset. And it's just that leads you down the wrong path.
Ken Blanchard talked about that at our meeting. Remember when he talked about success versus significance?
Exactly.
And moving from that mindset of just the success and having the things and the money and the material things to how are we actually significant?
Totally. It's a temporal thing. And, you know, we all struggle with it. I mean, I'm a big eBay shopper, right? And I get on eBay and I find things that I think I have to have, right? Well, no, I don't have to have it. But for that moment, you want to outbid somebody and get that thing. And then it shows up in the mail and you're, oh, here it is. And then 3 days later, you're off on some other tangent thinking you have to have something else. And so it's a challenge. It is for me and for all of us. But I think the sooner we can get to the fact that we're just satisfied with what we have, and then anything else is just a blessing and gravy. And, you know, they say that if a person makes $40,000 a year, they're in the top 2% of the world. If they make over $90,000 a year, they're in the top 1% in the world. So, I mean, most all of us here in the United States of America, we're blessed. I mean, we're in the top of the world and being blessed, and yet we don't feel that way. Right, because we're in debt, and we always want more, and you know, we've got to get away from some of that mindset.
Yeah, so that's a really nice segue to begin to enter the part of the discussion on how do you use work for the greater good? Because a lot of what you're describing, some business would say that's a real compromise to the profit.
Yeah, and there's profit in worldly terms, and there's profit in God's terms, right? And I remember a client that we had several years ago for a couple of years, Habitat for Humanity International, and we did all the recruiting at their corporate headquarters down in Americus, Georgia. And, you know, it was really fascinating because the people there are corporate enable the great work that Habitat does out in the field all over the world. And they are doing awesome work to help incredible amounts of people that are in poverty, right? And yet those people come to work every day in Americus, Georgia, and they're the accountant or they're in marketing or they're the receptionist. And, you know, they came to work with just a great flair and feeling for the fact that they need to do what they need to do so that the people in the field can really touch the end client and the people that really need the help. And so I think that's the key, is to, you know, look at your job and your role in a bigger picture. You know, how does it fit into the overall plan, and feel good about that? You know, kind of the bloom where you've been planted. Don't always think about, I need to be planted somewhere else in a bigger company or a bigger title or more money. You know, I think most of us have had situations in our careers where we had a career train wreck, or, you know, I had a situation where one time I was offered a lot of money to go work somewhere, and I took it and I went to work there. And 6 months in, I thought, what am I doing here? This is not a good fit for me. And so it's not all about the money. It's not about the fame. You know, it's really about trying to impact lives, you know, for eternity. And it's really about trying to just help people through the journey, because it's tough. You know, it's a tough world out there, and a lot of fear and what have you can creep in. But, you know, together, you know, we can put a smile on people's faces and help them make it a better journey.
Well, I love how you have taken work and turned it into something that is truly helping people become better and making the world a better place. What a great fit for our show. And I really hope and pray, Tom, that you are just blessed beyond measure, and that as a result of your work, I'm looking forward to getting on the other side and seeing who all is standing in your line.
Well, you're sweet. I'm already blessed, and give all the glory to God, and thank you for the good work you're doing as well, and Tamara, and it's been a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, well, thank you so much. You've been listening to Tom Darrow, and we appreciate so much your listening in. Tom, would you give us your web address? We'd love for people to reach out to you.
Sure, two of them. TalentConnections.net is our executive search firm, and then CareerSpa.net is the career transition firm.
And you've been listening today to Inspiration at Work with your host, Terry Barber, and my co-host, Tamara O'Neill. Until next time, we wish you the very best. And remember, please, even today, keep on inspiring.
You have been listening to Inspiration at Work on the GII Network with your host, Terry Barber. Find us on the web at www.inspirationboulevard.com and follow us on Twitter at Inspiration Boulevard.